All right, Big D-Roy, I told you 2024 is my new year. I told you we were going to be here strong, bringing it every week on Death, Piles, and Taxes. How you doing this morning, my friend?
Except for last week.
Well, we had some in the queue. Are you saying we ran out of them?
We ran out of them.
Oh, man. It's just,
you all listen?
It's just been about...
You know, you got a nice haircut.
Oh, thank you, man.
Just sit down and notice that.
I'm trying to look fancy. Got one of those cute little, you know...
Can't hide money, Adam.
I haven't said that in a little while. When you buy it online on Amazon, you can hide a lot of money.
Okay. You're the tax professor.
Dang it. I wanted to be better about making sure we had one every week. So, I've only got enough time to record one, and we'll have to do another one. So
you had a personal situation last week.
Oh yeah. We ran up to Idaho. That was had a family funeral viewing to run up to. So we made the quick trip. My wife's much better than I am. We talked about it. And she says, yeah, you should probably make it work. And we made it work.
Your wife is much better than you are.
You always got to marry up, my friend. Took a lot of time to convince her to do that, but I'm okay now.
Persistent. If nothing else, Adam's a great salesman, and he's very persistent. So
that's how I became friends with all these Nephi boys.
And look, now I mean, now instead of enjoying and making money, you get to come talk to me for an hour a week.
You know I am the Reggie Jackson of the group.
You're more than the Reggie Jackson.
I am the straw that stirs the drink.
You might be the whole cup.
I thought about that. Actually, I was thinking about that last night as kids. I mean, nobody talks about taxes. Nobody thinks about adulting. Nobody thinks about mortgages, credit cards, car insurance for kids, taxes. And I actually had a longtime high school friend. She reached out to me last year. So we've known each other since we were probably like 10 years old. And she went through a bad divorce last year, and her taxes weren't what they used to be. And I had to try to explain that, yes, what happens when you get divorced, you know, now you're only claiming one kid. She was carrying the financial burden. So that was one of the reasons, you know, it's tough to stay together when you're not financially contributing or any reasons, but her taxes change. So anytime you go from being married and only one of the spouses is working, then your tax tables change. So she went from, you know, thinking she's getting $3,000 to $4,000 to where she's getting like $200 to $300. So that was, you know, one of those things. Like I said, I thought about that, and I've got, you know, I got, what, three Nephi people coming here today. One of your other father figures will be here in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, we won't use names because, you know, you were saying that, though.
Yes, sir. So it's a good thing. Like I said, taxes are real.
Going down that road, I thought we were having a deep confessional of the high school friend divorce. I'm like, Adam, you're saying how great your wife is. Stay strong,
tax talk.
Oh, but it's always tax talk because
stir the drink.
I mean, what happens? And should I go down this road? We're talking a little taxes today. We're talking life and taxes. It's a reality. Unfortunately, like, you know, I don't know if it's still 50% or 55% of all marriages fail. And
I heard the subsequent. So I heard the statistics get skewed. It's also it's the first, but it's the second and the third.
You see, you're going there. You're catching with me.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's always two sides to every story, and when people get divorced as clients, usually I end up doing two tax returns now.
That's a good Adam encourages it.
I do not encourage it, but
you made a lot more money than her or than him. Depends on where you're going. You ever thought about branching out on your own?
That is not what I'm saying.
I mean, I
would not encourage Holly to do that.
I'd be partial. You could still both be my clients. And of course, it'd cost you the same each.
So generally that's what happens. And I will say in certain circumstances, someone has another significant other that they're interested in pursuing and becoming married again, or at least a live-in, or in some situations. So everybody's got another tax return to do. And like you're saying, that second relationship, especially if it ends in or begins in legal circumstances, which has to be filed on your tax returns, usually a lot of time that ends up being another tax return, because that second one, they burn through even faster than the first one.
I mean, I don't have any fancy degrees. I qualified to drive a truck and a forklift and not much else.
Special keynote speaker at the university, though.
But what I have gathered in my age, I used to say young age, now I'm mid-age, somewhere in there, is it's usually people running from a problem, and they think they fixed the problem together. You know, it wasn't. It's usually you. Like,
yes.
And if there's something wrong or not going great in your life, if you'd sit and reflect a little bit, it's probably something you're doing, or you're upset with yourself and taking it out on somebody else. I'm not a therapist. Like I said, probably could make a lot more money if I was to go down these paths.
Oh, yeah.
Was it life coach, self...
You're my life coach.
Oh, I could be a self-appointed. I don't know the official term. I could probably make money with, you know, these divorced couples and say, now listen, I get that you're running and you think this hot flame is just what you've been waiting for. You've been thinking you had regrets since high school.
Oh, yeah.
And it should have always been, but... Then reality hits, and like, you know, it's just nothing's like, it's there's the Disney version in your mind, or the adult Disney, or wherever you're going with.
Whoa.
But then reality comes in, and like, there's bills, there's kids, there's in-laws, there's friends, there's, you know, who prepares the food, where's the money go? There's problems. And usually, you can control you.
Yes.
So find somebody that you're compatible with, work it out. Doesn't always work, and sometimes there's valid reasons why it doesn't work.
Sure.
Not saying stay in those situations, but I've also thought, too, I mean, we have friends that, you know, single, never got married, that kind of thing, and a lot of people are kind of, like, pity them, or like, oh, man, you know, that life, how could you go down that road, or wouldn't that be tough? There's some benefits there as well. So, if you're in that situation, I'm not, you know, I don't know where... I came up with all this morning. I've been sitting here waiting at them. I'm pins and needles. But,
yeah,
you know, just make the best of whatever situation you're in. Don't rush. The grass isn't always greener, I guess, is where I'm getting at. You know, sometimes if you water your own grass, it's nice. And sometimes you like your own lawn. Sometimes you want to share lawns. Sometimes that turns into a big old farm. And sometimes, you know, fences make the best neighbors. Figure it out for yourself, folks. This is about eBay resale.
Yes. It's about taxes, too. It's about, because when you get divorced, you got stuff you got to get rid of. Last kind of like hit on that. If you do decide to get remarried, I'm just letting you know, you need to tell your accountant, because you can't come in and file your taxes. Like I said, quite a few people now, probably 60-65%, I just do through our portal. Completed one of my clients' tax returns, got it already, sent it over for her to sign, and she says, oh, hey, does it make a difference that I got married last year? And I'm like, yes, it does, because now you're married legally. You have, your option is to be married filing joint or married filing separate because you're married. So that little tidbit, that little reaction, it changed her from being head of household, which again, we talk about your tax rates. So it went from her getting about a $700 refund to her owing about about $1,000. And, you know, she didn't like that. And I tried to explain it to her. And then, you know, we looked at potentially file married. But again, that's the problem. I'm glad you're actually bringing this up. This is gold. This is tax gold today.
Find them little nuggets.
Because that's like nobody explains this. That's why I have a job. I try to take multiply complex items and put it to where the ice road truckers, you know, get the gist. That's our job. When you're filing your taxes as married, you always look at your withholdings. And unfortunately, the IRS has changed the W-4 form. A W-4 is what every person who has a job, you have to fill one out. You probably don't know it. You don't even know what it is, but you go in to your employer's account where you put in your social security number, and the ones that is important is your direct deposit information to know that you get, you know, your money to you every single week, 2 weeks. But you have to file your exemptions. You have to put in how much money in taxes you think you're going to owe. That's what the W-4 form does. Based off of your W-2, if, you know, you make $70,000, $80,000, if you say single, it's going to withhold at the single rate. You know, how much taxes you're going to end up owing, you know, usually about $7,000 to $8,000 in that range. But if you're married, that amount will change because when you're married, you're able to be at a different tax level. You have less taxes to pay, which is fine if it's just your W-2. But if both spouses are working and both spouses are making, you know, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, your W-2 doesn't know about your wife's W-2, and your wife or partner, whichever situation you might be in, doesn't know about your other partner's W-2. So if you don't have it correctly done, you're both going to under withhold. And then you're going to come and see me and say, well, what do you mean we owe $44,000? So that's one of those things. So usually what I encourage people, and not this is what I encourage, and hopefully each one of you guys that are listening, we appreciate it. We see the numbers. Again, it's still baffling. I tell D-Roy, put us in a gymnasium, have all you guys listen, and that's where we're at. It just, those numbers pop. But you should take your actual paycheck stub 3 times a year and print them off. Now look at it on your phone, like legitimately print it off and review everything. Make sure that your health insurance, your retirement, that way you have it, set it next to your bed, put it on your refrigerator like it's art, get a sticker so you really know it, so you can look at your withholdings. And those dates that I tell people is April 15th, because usually that'll make you realize, like, am I on the right track? The two other ones I try to make my little spin. It's kind of cute, I think. You tell me if it's... I usually tell everybody halfway through the year, it's July 4th. You think about fireworks. Everybody remembers that here in America. I mean, we got listeners all over the world, but here in America, we blow stuff up. July 4th. And if you don't look at your paycheck stub, when you come and see me next year, your taxes are going to explode.
Because
you know, your withholdings are going to be bad. It's going to blow up that way. So you're halfway through the year, you know, kind of match up with your withholdings. That's what I try to do is instead of telling you what your withholdings married and whatever, I usually say you just have a fixed amount. You know, if you owe $10,000, then have a fixed, you know, $300 per paycheck come out. So that's the second time And the third time is Halloween, October 31st. We're almost through the year. We still got a little time. If you don't print it off and look at it, it's going to be real scary when you come and see me on April 15th. So that's my tax spiel, my tax time. Hopefully that's a little wisdom for you, D-Roy. So print it off on April 15th. July 4th, it's gonna blow up in your face if you don't do it. And October 31st, D-Roy's favorite time of year, the scary time of year.
Like the spooky season.
Yeah.
My work, we call that the W-Quattro. That's why I didn't know what you were saying there for a minute.
W-Quattro.
But that was pretty good.
Oh, boy, that's a good one.
So... this seems like again, Adam. I'm just a
mother trucker,
a truck driver that, you know, sport gambles on the side. Like, obviously, I don't have it all figured out. Or regular gamble.
You can sell that to the tourists, but I live here, D-Roy. You got it figured out.
I don't even have a tax day with you yet.
That's okay. I know you'll get one.
I've been crunching some numbers, and boy, I sure invested a lot this year. Didn't sell as much. But we'll go down that road personally here within the next month.
Okay.
It seems like all this can be fixed. Like, your company doesn't know. We can make a system. Now, I know this is going to get into politics, and I know we don't want to go there. I know, you know, we don't agree. The country doesn't agree. Pretty divided right now. I mean, you don't agree on everything, obviously. It's getting to be election season. It's already getting nasty. But it just seems like if we could get some adults together in a room and say, hey, here's my W-4 from my work. Here's it from yours. Why don't we merge this together in a system so when we go to do our taxes, it's already done and we present it. Like, it seems like a lot of this is archaic and could just It seems like it could be fixed. Just nobody wants to do it, or the budget doesn't want, like, it just seems like the IRS could be a lot more efficient. The government could be a lot more, like, all this could be fixed. Like, if this was Microsoft or
Adobe,
Apple, somebody that you're buying stocks into, and they came out with their big report, and they're like, oh, yeah, well, Joe works over in Seattle in Terminal 5, and, well, he's partners probably virtually with this guy down in Dallas, Texas, and we can't put their papers together because once a year we'll come together and merge it all because we have the infrastructure. We just don't want to use it. I don't know why. Because it's how we've always done it. Going back to the 1800s, this is how it works. Like, you'd say you're an idiot and you won't buy stock in that company, but here we are, and we have just problems after problems. And it's like common sense. I mean, I get there's big issues, and that's where everybody goes, like,
that's the problem. We're divided on the big
issues.
There's
big issues.
That are non-issues.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, we're not going to solve that. We're not going to agree on that. Well, let's fix the little things. Like, okay, there's a big hole in the boat. We're bringing in a lot of water. And maybe we don't start with the biggest hole, but we can patch up some of these smaller holes that we all agree on is a problem. And we'll work on that big one when we get to it. Or maybe we can fix a lot of these small ones and the big ones won't, you know, be such a big whatever. But am I wrong? Am I missing something here?
Youth knowledge is great. Okay. My son reads amazing books. I don't know. He was Orson Welles, Animal, something like, I'm like, what are you reading? He sent me a text message the other day that is very, fits perfectly to what you're saying. Basically it's a quote from one of the greats. It says, the 9 scariest words are, I'm here from the government to fix your problem. That's where we're at. And I don't know if that was 9 words or maybe we're here to, whatever it was.
No one's counting.
Roddy Reagan. Basically, that's what you're saying.
Well, I know Hollywood actor.
That's the one.
What happened with him?
John Wayne, buddy, those guys.
You see them jelly beans.
Just like what you're saying is it is archaic. The problem is again, on the divided issue, the IRS is really the only, you know, entity of our government that brings in money. We sure spend a lot of it. But just like what you're seeing, I mean, I know the facilities. I have clients that work for the IRS. It is archaic. Like, I still have to mail stuff in. The IRS shredded like 5 million documents because during the pandemic, they're semi-loads full of mail that they couldn't get to. So you know what they said? We're never going to get to it. We're just going to shred it and make people send it back in. And just like what you're saying is that's the case. But the problem is I mean, they put money towards the, they need more money to fix their computer systems, to have more people to be hired, because nobody wants to work at the, like, that's like the worst job ever.
It shouldn't have to, like, you can fix all this.
I agree, and I'm right there.
It's the same with the mail. We deal with this with selling stuff. The mail has just gotten stupid. And like 10 years ago, whatever, probably it wasn't as bad.
Because they're governmentally run, and they have no accountability.
I mean, I still complain about the mail. You'd be wrong.
But what I'm saying is there is no real accountability. There's no, if you fail, you're gone. I mean, that's how the real world is. Like, if you go to a grocery store and their food sucks or a restaurant, guess what's going to happen? It's going to close. But the government doesn't have that kind of problems, so they just continue to run. So, like, what I was saying is there's been billions of dollars going to the IRS that's allocated, but now it's already being rescinded because everybody thinks, oh, they don't want that money. They're going to send people out to my door with a gun to take my tax money, which it's not the case. They're trying to use it to make it better. So you're just right. Like, it says, big government, D-Roy, is not the answer.
Well, neither small government, though, because I'm arguing with a guy on Twitter that wants to put a statue of Jesus at the point of the mountain because he thinks that's a good use of taxpayer money. I mean, it's stupid.
Why do we have a new flag in the state? Dumbest thing ever.
It's a nice-looking flag, though.
Oh, don't even.
You don't like the new flag?
No.
What's wrong with the new flag?
I don't know how many millions of dollars that it costs. That's the problem with it.
I'll get that, but like,
just like you're saying,
the point's not to get back the old flag.
Well, why no? But what do we need a new flag for?
Because it looks pretty.
Okay.
It's a nice logo.
This guy might think.
And raising money to their state.
This guy might think Jesus looks pretty. Arkansas has one. They got Christ of the Ozarks. Brazil's got one. It makes a lot of money for them.
Government funded?
No, that one is not. I don't know if the, but what I'm saying is,
we put a big one of Satan up there that was paid for by taxpayers. People have a problem with it.
Well, a flag?
I mean, if you're going to religion, you can't just say who gets to do what. Is it a Mormon Jesus? Is it a Catholic Jesus? Is it a Mesopotamian Jesus? I mean,
well, what we do is we do like we do with the flag, is we have everybody submit an option.
Everyone's in their option.
But
I submitted several.
But the government still, still paid for it.
American Idol.
Did we really need it?
The government flag.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're picking
Betsy Ross making them down the factory, Adam.
We're picking and choosing what we want the government to spend money on.
We can all agree that it's not ran efficiently, regardless of where you're at.
No matter what, and that is the problem. Is where
makes you feel getting the tingles.
We've got antiquated systems, and the government spends money at will on things that they think are important. That's the thing. It's contingency.
I guess it's all our fault because we vote for the people that make these choices.
Not. It's lobbyists, man. I don't know how we got down this thing, but that's what it is. Is there's just special interests, and they pay for it, and they get money, and that's just how the I'm coming to find that out real quick. That's how the world turns.
That's how the apple is made.
As the world turns. Victor comes back from death 17 times
like,
later.
I get to tell my Chris Jericho story this week. We're not going to do that.
Oh, man.
That was 5 weeks ago.
That's going to come in on the next pile of... What should we... The
next blue, pile of death pile.
The next pile of death piles. Politically charged version going to the IRS version. Because you're absolutely right.
The IRS just gets people all work.
But that's the problem, is we can't ignore it, because every single year, every single one of us has to file our taxes, and to be better informed is what we should be teaching in high school.
Yes, okay. Start with the kids. Let's indoctrinate the youth.
Back to government, what they should not be doing.
You see, the children are the future. Now I'm just going to say it's their problem. It's their fault. Well, they figure it out.
Hence the reason death piles exist, because we all pile up stuff, and when we die, your kids got to deal with it. It's their problem, right, D-Roy? Oh, man. Well, that being said, my friend, we went down a deep dive into a rabbit hole that I didn't know we were going to get there. That's the best thing about this show.
Pen up Adam and pen up Derek.
Oh, just like getting ready.
Frustration.
You're probably glad that this is the only one we're recording today. So
now, I want to tell my Chris Jericho story.
Well, we'll have to get that on the next episode of
Death Piles and Taxes.
Well, we didn't do two things are certain. We got too little too excited.
Let's do any of them. There's two things in life that are certain.
And that would be death piles. And taxes and big government that we can always argue about forever and ever and ever.
We're well within our rights, the easy song. We're aware the preaching copyright is wrong. With lots of dedication, we've researched the legislation, and this music has nowhere else. Derek is the king of death piles, and Adam does his taxes all the while. Death piles and taxes, selling stuff online in between. Death piles and taxes, no copyright infringement to be seen. Copyright infringement to be seen. Death